Taking a stand against gas prices.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A couple of developments in the world of fuel costs. Iraq's oil minister quit his job today. He wouldn't go along with that country's decision to jack up the price of gasoline. Last couple weeks, those prices have gone up close to 200%. Meanwhile, Russia has cut off all gas supplies to Ukraine. Ukraine wouldn't pay a new quadrupled price. It's a big problem for all of Europe, which relies on Russia for about a quarter of its gas supplies. Ukraine calls it blackmail. Hate to be the one to tell you this, but gas prices in this country are going back up. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith explains why.
Just when you thought gas prices were down, federal legislation is poised to pull them back up again. Starting this month, refiners will have to drastically reduce the sulfur content in gasoline. The move is expected to tack as much as 60 cents onto every gallon. Industry expert Robert Bryce.
American refiners are going to have to comply with the biggest change in federal motor fuel regulations since leaded gasoline was banned 3 decades ago.
Bryce says U.S. refiners already make 45 different blends of gasoline to comply with state and federal regulations. Adding more blends is going to cost refiners more. And says Bryce, that will be passed on to consumers. Bryce says the new regulations will also mean the U.S. must import more refined motor oil. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
So if you run a small business, what's your New Year's resolution? Entrepreneur Magazine and PricewaterhouseCoopers asked the heads of small, fast-growing companies what they're worried about for 2006. From the Entrepreneurship Desk, Bill Poorman reports.
The survey of 300 small company executives found that their biggest worry was how to hang on to key employees. Entrepreneur Magazine's Reva Lasansky says that's largely because small businesses have a hard time offering competitive benefits like healthcare coverage.
They may offer the same coverage, but they're not going to pay for most of it. In a lot of smaller businesses, they may offer coverage, and they may only pay 25%, expecting the worker to pay 75%, where in a bigger company, it might be the inverse.
The survey also found that small company executives were concerned about the future of the U.S. economy. But one thing that's not a worry this year, figuring out how to take the company public.
If you think back into the late 90s, that was probably one of the number one things. People aren't so concerned about that much anymore.
Ah, how times have changed. I'm Bill Poorman for Marketplace.
Starbucks is no small company, but it's got its own headaches. A lawsuit in China, for example. A Chinese court has sided with Starbucks in a name dispute. A Shanghai rival was using the same name Starbucks came up with for its Chinese coffee houses, Xingbaka. The ruling is the first of its kind under a 2001 trademark protection law. So now I guess there's a new saying in China, a Xingbaka on every corner. Friday pushed the Dow into negative territory for 2005. It was down 67 points to 10,717. The S&P 500 index fell 1248. Google fell 1%, and that dragged on the NASDAQ. It was down 12 points to 2205. By the way, Google's still trading at $416 a share. Markets around the world are closed for the holiday. This is Marketplace. Doubt too many fans will be debating economics at today's Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. But make no mistake, these college football bowl games are all about the money. Ethan Lindsay reports.
The Rose Bowl pays out $15 million. This year, Southern Cal and Texas split the pot. Not all the prizes are that big. Boise State and Boston College only got about $400,000 for showing up at the MPC Computers Bowl in Idaho. But bowl games can rake in big tourism bucks. Chan Gailey coaches at Georgia Tech. Before his team played in San Francisco's Emerald Bowl, players saw the sights.
Some guys grow up in South Georgia or North Florida. They don't get to experience this. They don't get to see Alcatraz. They don't get to ride a cable car.
But it's the fans, not the players, that bring the cash. And don't forget the tickets. Even a seat at the scenic Fort Worth Bowl costs upwards of $50. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Gather.com, where you can read what other listeners are saying and thinking about today's business news. You can share your perspective online at gather.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Welcome to 2006. This is the year the first baby boomers turned 60. The question a lot of them will be asking is, should I retire early? Author Steven Silbiger says you got to look at your overall financial picture and those Social Security penalties.
At 62, everybody can take early retirement, but at 62, you take sharp penalties. In many cases, it's 50% or more of that check you're going to be giving away. And not only that, it will continue into your full retirement. It doesn't go to the full benefit at retirement. You make permanent decisions that can cut your benefits significantly. And a lot of people won't do that estimation and find out that they've retired early and then be surprised and make $100,000 mistakes.
What would you say is the most misunderstood fact about Social Security?
A lot of people don't even know that the full retirement age has been moved from 65 to 67, and a lot of people will be intending to retire at 65 and find out, no, they can't.
When we're planning for our retirement, should we be expecting that there'll be some Social Security money available for us or not?
Oh, absolutely. I think you should plan that there'll be half of your check should definitely you can plan for. If there's any major calamities or what have you, I think that would be a safe bet to plan for 100% of the check that is in your Social Security statement that you receive each year. I think that would be foolhardy.
We're always hearing about the Social Security Trust Fund. Does that really exist?
As far as an account where there's marketable securities like you and I would have in our IRA or 401k, it doesn't exist. It's just an accounting entry in the books of the federal government. Every year, we're contributing over $150 billion more than the benefits are going out, and that's being spent by the federal government. So when you see that the government has a federal budget deficit of $400 billion, actually it's $150 billion more because they're spending all the Social Security Trust Fund as we go along.
What are a couple of specific things that people can do to better their situation before retirement?
A lot of people near retirement get very conservative with their money and put in money market funds. And that is a good way to invest. But a lot of people are lazy and they don't actually shop nationally for their money markets. The average bank money market earns less than 1%. There's ways to be able, on a national basis, shop it at 3.5%. That is a full 5 times what they could possibly get. And if people would do that, they would be making billions and billions of dollars more across the country.
Steven Silbiger's new book is Retire Early, Make the Smart Choices. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and Happy New Year to you.
American Public Media.